Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bounds. Now, this last weekend, a blustery old post-Christmas London was decorated instead by high cheekbones, aquiline noses and fine tailoring. For Men's Fashion Week was in town and we thought, how do you put on a fashion show? And indeed, that is the question that we're asking tonight. Who better to answer it than Patrick Grant, the governor and creative director of the venerable outfitter Etourts. Cool yet traditional, proudly British yet future-looking, Etourts is just our bag. Grant and his team have spent the last months putting together the clothes that you may well be wearing this time next year. From dreaming up a silhouette, to sourcing fabrics, to choosing fixtures, fittings and details, designing the collection is one very painstaking thing. The runway show, the little bit of theatre that contributes to showing them to the fashion press and the world, is another creative task altogether. Join us today then as we meet Patrick Grant, a couple of the key members of his Etourts team, and a couple of people indispensable on the day. Models, say, and hair and makeup. As we ask, how do you put on a fashion show? And here's a quick product warning, this broadcast does include scarecrows, for some reason. Well, Patrick, thanks for having us the day before the catwalk show, the runway show, tomorrow on the Strand. What stage are you at the moment? It's noon the day before the show. Have you done all the casting? Obviously, everything's cut and dried, but there's obviously still some niggles and some snagging to be done.
We're probably 95% of the way there. I mean, looking at the board now, we've got 24 looks in the show, and we still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 red dots. Red dots mean something just needs some final tweaking. We've got a tiny bit of sewing. Hannah's sewing some buttons on some pieces. I think we've got a few pieces that just got final bits to sort out. We've largely done the casting, but we've got to finalise. We'll have 14 models in the show. I think we're fairly confident on 11. And out of about another 10, 12, we have to pick a final three. And obviously part of that involves who's going to look good in what things. So once we have all the outfits ready and we have the boys largely cast, it's a question of, you know, looking at just simple things like, you know, hair colouring, skin colouring, all of these things. What will look best with which pieces of clothing? Because we, you know, we take great care to try and make sure that looks as good as it can do.
Is that something that you can only decide once the clothes are on the models, once the looks are kind of complete? Yeah. That it's kind of a vibe thing. It's actually how you feel about it, how your team feels about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we spent 12 hours yesterday with boys in and out. And, you know, we see them, we try clothes on them, we try different things on different people. Some of them we've used before. So probably a third of the cast will be boys that have worked for us before, that we know look good in pretty much anything. But also there's very much an overall feeling about the collection, which we reflect not only through the clothes, but through the casting itself. So the casting has a big role to play in how we're telling the story of the collection. So obviously the clothes are very important. But the music and the look of the boys and how we put those clothes together and how we style them, again, is part of telling the story.
We want to know a bit of the attitude, because I remember this time last year watching your show, you wrote a really lovely, not so much a mission statement, but a kind of, an ode to the nightclubs in Scotland that you went to as a young bloke. And that was kind of the kickoff for that. So what about this collection?
So this collection, there was an exhibition at the Barbican. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Strange and Familiar. Curated by Martin Parr. Sort of almost all roads in this studio lead back to Martin Parr in some way or other. But he put this exhibition together, which was foreign photographers photographing Britain. And it was brilliant. Some of them we knew, some of them I'd never heard of, but it was an extraordinary exhibition. Martin Parr wrote the foreword to a book called Strangely Familiar.
We've got a kind of possibly northern industrial scene on the front of this book. This is kind of classic material.
A fantastic photographer that I hadn't heard of called Peter Mitchell, who photographed Leeds from the early 70s. Peter Mitchell lived and worked in Leeds and photographed Leeds. And I lived in Leeds for a couple of years in the early 90s. I was at university there. I mean, it didn't look that different, but it's, you know,
some fantastic signage, some very old school industry.
Signage, amazing ladies in tabards, a lot of, you know, urban dereliction. And I loved it. I mean, he clearly has an amazing eye and loves the things that really resonate with me. And, you know, an Etourts is very much a reflection on the things that I like and the team here like. So it's about celebrating all this amazing clothing of Britain past. So Peter had also, for about 25, 30 years, been photographing scarecrows. So in and around Leeds.
This isn't sounding good for a fashion collection, Patrick.
No, well, so we're looking at photographs of scarecrows, you know, poles up their backsides, plastic, you know, industrial liquid cartons for heads, poly bags for hands.
Striking some poses here.
They are wearing clothes. They're wearing clothes in a really kind of easy, like, they don't care what clothes they're wearing. They're having a nice time. They're out in the countryside. They're wearing amazing looking stuff. I mean, it's just really cool looking. Their hands and legs are tied up with baling twine. There's a sort of glorious insouciance about the way these scarecrows are dressed. And many of them are quite smartly dressed. I mean, this isn't all of them in this book here. But, you know, they're wearing nice coats, they're wearing check shirts. And there's just a sort of looseness and easiness to the whole way that their outfits are put together and the clothes themselves. And they're very worn and very soft. And, you know, they've been smashed about by the elements for hundreds of years. Maybe not hundreds of years, but
Some time.
Let's say some time. And that really was the kind of kickoff point.
What do you tell the guys that you choose, the models that you choose, in terms of the attitude, almost as a film director, as a choreographer, what do you say to get them into the mood to walk down to show your clothes in the way that you want them? What's the attitude you want them to strike?
Partly you do that with the music. Some designers give very specific directions, and it always makes me laugh, actually. There's a sign right at the exit that has a very specific, okay, like, smile, be vibey. We don't tend to do that, but we rehearse, and most of the time we're casting guys that are sensitive to how it needs to look and feel. And also, once they put the clothes on,
that makes the difference.
You know, they should feel different when the clothes, you know, they turn up wearing Palace skate tops and, you know, and really skinny jeans. And, you know, and then they put these clothes on and it should make them feel different because, I mean, that is the whole point of beautiful clothes. It makes you feel different when you wear them. So they sort of begin, once we've put the clothes on them and we've styled them, they begin to sort of inhabit this character anyway. And then once the music plays and the music that we've got, again, I've worked with William Green, who used to be a fashion designer, but also as a music producer. And he understands, you know, he understands how shows work, which is important when you're working on show music. But that has to tell a story as well. And there's a sort of misty melancholy, you know, we're trying to put you into that place. You know, we're trying to put you in that field in Yorkshire using the music. There's three tracks in the show music, and two of them are from this year, one from last year, and then there's one from the 1980s. But they all have a slightly 80s-y vibe about them.
I thought this was going to be the first collection where the boys walked onto something by the Fairport Convention or something.
No.
Some crop-ready thing.
No, there's a bit of Phil Collins in there.
But, can't hurt anyone.
Yeah. But, you know, I think those people that have been around long enough also will recognise the sort of 80s influences in the production of the two modern songs. You know, a bit like watching Stranger Things, it sort of takes you back. There is a sort of slightly lonely, melancholic feel about the clothing, and they will walk in a sort of downplayed, quiet way, which reflects all of that.
Presumably you can do this, you can do a lot of this the day before the show, you can do sort of too much of this, you can tinker too much, you can have a second thought. That's presumably, it can be good, but not always.
We start really early. You asked a question about when we start. Like, we will start working on spring immediately. Like next week we will start working on spring.
Yeah.
And we start it and we get it organized and we get the fabrics in and we do all this stuff. So we do all the thinking and all the editing and all the second guessing then. I've been backstage at some very, very big shows and seen that process. And, you know, some of them have big teams of people working on the show. They'll have quite often an external stylist who will work with the designer on putting the collection together and then physically styling the looks. We don't do that. We trust our own judgment on that. We also trust our own judgment on the casting of the boys. We don't use a casting agent, which, again, a lot of people use. So, you know, it's in my head from 6 months ago, and it's just a question of trying to get the best representation of it out onto the catwalk. You know, we do a little bit of fine-tuning, but, I'm not racked with last-minute, oh, my God, it's not good enough feelings, because at the end of the day, they're just clothes. And, you know, they're very good clothes. We've engineered the clothes. The clothes themselves, if you take any individual piece of clothing out and put it on a rail by itself, It's a lovely piece of clothing. And the point of the show is to express a sort of feeling about the collection and show people the clothes in action, on a body, in motion, because when we go to sales, we start sales on Sunday. So it's, you know, you need to see them on a body. It's when it's sitting on a rail, it's hard to visualize, or harder to visualize. So that's the point. It's to show the clothes in action, give a sense of what the overall feeling of the collection is about. But that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we shall catch up with you bright and perky tomorrow morning on the Strand, perky. Patrick.
You'll be there at 7 a.m.
Of course.
That's nice. Head this way slightly. That's it. Bring it. A little bit more relaxed.
Good morning, Patrick. Here we are, bright and fresh at 180 The Strand backstage. And it's 7:45 in the morning. We're being kind with the time. When did you get here and what's going on around us?
Well, we were in the studio about 6 o'clock just to load the van. We're backstage now. What we're doing, hair and makeup are here. The guys from Tony and Guy are here. The team from Mac are here. And most of the boys have arrived. An unusually high proportion of the boys, given that they were supposed to be here at 7. It's now, well, it's 7:55, and almost all of them are here.
We're in good shape then, really?
I think we're in pretty good shape. I mean, the team are just doing final tweaks, making sure that hem lengths are right and final bits of fitting. So there's a bit of sewing going on at the moment. But yeah.
And it's fantastic to have this backstage access. It's amazingly photogenic. Like, the backstage areas of any films that have any undertaking that is all about show is about. There is something very show about the backstage part of it as well. There's a kind of palpable excitement about it. Is this the part of the thing that kind of gives you a bit of a buzz about it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is great. I mean, this is the time where you see, you know, all of these amazing looking guys finally wearing all of these outfits that we've spent 6 months working on. You know, you look around the room here, we've got a rail for every model, we've got the model's card, their photographs, the photographs of their outfits. You know, there's a big team here. There's a lot of people working backstage here. I mean, there's probably 30-odd people between dressers, hair, our own team, makeup. I mean, in about an hour's time, this place will be rammed with photographers from all of the world's sort of media agencies. It becomes a bit of a scrum, actually. You know, just with an hour to go, it really gets pretty full. We'll be rehearsing in probably about 35 minutes. Hopefully, all of the boys will be here for the rehearsal. But yeah, you start to feel a little bit nervous excitement.
Squeaky bum time.
Well, no, I mean, we hope, as I said, you know, we're organised. I mean, look around. There's no frantic. There's no, you know, nobody's screaming and tearing their hair out like there are in some, you know, at some shows backstage. There's quite an air of calm. You know, Hannah's sitting there, hand sewing a hem. It's organised, and you know, we've done it many, many times before. I mean, both the teams from Mac and Tony have done this many, many times before. Everybody knows their job. It's quite a well-oiled machine, actually, now. Many of the dresses that we've used for many, many seasons. You know, we've got stores coming from all over the world. We've got, you know, lots of American and Japanese and European and British stores coming today. And, you know, the big ones are important to us. I mean, we're putting this on so that they can see our clothes in action. And it's important that we have those people in their seats.
Indeed. Okay, Patrick, we'll check in with you. Before the green light, I guess, before the curtain is drawn, the curtain comes down, we're going to go and check out something with the hair and makeup, and possibly they can do some work on me this morning.
Head over that way. Nice, very nice. Chin down, though. And then come to the side a little bit. So profile the other way.
My name's Kevin Lutchman, International Art Director for Tony and Guy and Label M. So, you know, our call time was at 7 o'clock.
You're used to that.
Yeah, used to these early morning call times, so it's all good. Got it at 7 o'clock, we got 14 models. The hair brief that we was given was two images, and there was quite old school images of guys with long hair, loose hair. And as I came in, actually looking around at the models, we've seen that all of the models have all got long hair. They're sort of like very loose, very natural. So what we're starting to do is we're starting to work with each model's individual texture and natural movement. What's going to happen after that, they're going to start to get dressed and fitted, and then they're going to have the rehearsals. And that's probably when it's going to get a little bit more hectic when they come back.
How many people have you got here? And presumably people have different specialties. How does it work?
I mean, we've got 14 models, and generally what we like to do is we like to probably have like one stylist per two models. So we've got about, I think there's seven in our team today. So it's kind of nice. And I mean, all the guys I've worked with before, you know, I trust them all, you know, and it's one of those ones, I think, when you have a strong team behind you, give them the hair brief and they kind of more or less know what to do, you know, so you can kind of trust them enough, you know. I think the key to it, especially when you're a head of team, is you really want to do minimal work. You just want to designate and...
Quite right, Kevin.
Yeah, that's always the best way, right? Oh, it's fine, I've done a good job if I've done nothing.
Hi, I'm Ian, I work at eTorts.
And here we are, you've got the privileged position of having, if not the clipboard, the sheaf of papers, Ian. I won't say that all of the names have been ticked off it quite yet. We're at 8:20 in the morning. What's happening around us now in terms of your job here and in terms of putting the finishing touches to everything and making sure all personnel are here?
So my job now is basically to corral a lot of boys into one place at one time on an early morning call time, which is never easy.
So this is a bit, there is something like herding cats to this at a certain point, right?
There is. I could do with the sheepdog right now. A couple of whistles and they'll all come through the door.
There have been some close scrapes, I understand, but there's never been an occasion where you've got 22 looks and 21 boys walking them out, right? But presumably the iPhone has been exercised this morning.
The iPhone is very well exercised. If one of those boys doesn't turn up, one of us has to go down that runway.
Now, this is the thing. So who's kind of first reserve then in the eTorts team for this?
I would say definitely Patrick.
Patrick himself has to get out there.
He's the one who's going to get the press and the money shot.
This is something you're very used to. For me, coming backstage, it's fascinating how businesslike and how photogenic and exciting it is back here with so many people doing their jobs on not enough sleep, possibly, because it's such an early morning call. So are you used to this? Is this all just plain sailing for you now?
We always like an early show. We like to get out of the way. So 5 or 6 seasons in, you kind of just get used to it and just runs like clockwork, apart from the boys, that is.
It was fascinating to come to the studio yesterday and see everything on the rails and see the mood boards on the walls and see everybody kind of putting the finishing touches to things in terms of communications as much as in terms of the clothes themselves. When you look around now, do you feel that that's, you know, you can see a lot of months' work kind of coming to fruition as well?
Well, yeah, it's a lot of months and then 6.5 minutes, we're done. So there's 6 months prep and then 6 minute show. Even after 12 shows, it's still pretty amazing when it finishes and you'll kind of get to see how the industry received the collection.
Hi, I'm Jack Tobin. I'm the commercial director at eTorts.
And this is an interesting thing. There's all sorts. It's fascinating to see all the different jobs that are happening backstage and how the studio jobs kind of translate into jobs here backstage at the show. So the commercial director sounds ominously important. Talk us through it.
Well, my job's really started about a month ago. We're talking to all the buyers, both domestic and international, that are coming to the show. So I've seated everybody on my side. So our PR company seat everybody from press on their side. And I'm just mainly focused on making sure that I see all the buyers today. I get a bit of FaceTime with everyone, particularly the international buyers that I don't see all too frequently. Make sure everybody's sat, everybody's happy. And then after the show, pretty much my job begins from this afternoon, really, with selling the new collection.
So there's a bit of a kind of crossover point at which all the designers have done their gig and then your job kicks in. Is this something, when you're meeting buyers, is that a kind of social thing? Is that over a coffee? Is that over a drink? Or are meetings scheduled for that?
It's nice when it is a social thing. With the buyers that I know really well, it becomes that. But with the majority, I'd say it's a scheduled appointment. People have expressed interest. If it's the first time, they may be buying us and they come and see the collection in whichever city is best for them. So we do London sales, which is straight after the show. And then we take the collection to Paris. And then this season, we take the collection to Copenhagen as well, which is Scandinavia is quite a strong market for us.
Straight off the back of a show, there's obviously a buzz. Is that something you can capitalise on as commercial director?
Yeah, you've got a window of time where you really do need to capitalise on that as much as possible before that fizzles out. So, I mean, when everybody's at the end of market, as they call it, and everybody's pretty jaded, they've seen everything at that point, they may have fallen in love with new designers or seen something they want to buy and used up their budget, you've pretty much run out of time and it's pointless whatever you do at that stage. So you need to absolutely begin months ago, really, actually, in prepping for this time. I've spoken to designers before who are more junior or more in the early stages of their brands, and they very much leave it to when they get into market and hope for the best. And that's a big mistake. You need to really be talking to people months in advance of this to get them to commit to seeing you. They've got busy schedules. You want them to, you know, they may only have 3 days in London. You want them to spend half an hour to an hour with you in the showroom. It's hard. Sometimes you really have to pester people to get that to happen. Buyers will always ask us who our adjacencies are. That's probably like number one question asked. And you want to know, you want to be able to answer that in terms of pricing, brand alignment. And we as a brand need to know that. But I think you can only really start to understand that when you're in the stage that we're in now. In the early days, it's difficult to be able to define yourself in that commercial way. You want to just be creative and do what you love doing. As time goes on, you need to develop the collection commercially. You need to have that just classic navy chino in there. There's a lot that will be in the showroom that isn't on the catwalk today, so probably actually about half will be what we call our core collection, and that is like our classic piece, classic white shirts, classic chinos, and that makes up a big part of people's buy, because everything that's on the catwalk today, even though we are not an exceptionally directional brand, we're still quite classic, still for today's market, people find it too directional for your everyday. So you need that around the collection as well. So that's something that we work on with the designers all year round to develop that side of the business.
Okay, thank you very much. I think it's rehearsal time. Should we go out and see how well everyone's done?
First rehearsal. So the boys have walked through so they know what route to walk. And now we're going to run the full show, full speed, full time with the music. Hair and makeup can review how it looks under full lights. Boys know the timings, they know individually what order they're going in, they know how much time they've got for their change, because there's a massive sense of urgency. That's the only panicked part of the show, is really getting them out of look one and into look two, because they've got about 2 minutes between coming off and going back on again.
Hi, my name is Simon Julius. I'm a model for Elite, and I'm here at Eat Out.
We've just seen you guys doing the rehearsal, doing the walkthrough, where you're in your own clothes, but you're in the shoes that you're going to be wearing, so you kind of get used to that. We're here today with eTorts. There's a certain look, not a million miles away from what you're wearing, although it's baggier, it's a looser kind of vibe and all the rest of it. Do you have to kind of get into a state of mind in order to do this, in order to do the runway?
Here it's just about like relaxing and not overthinking it. I've done like some other shows, like I did Dior in January last season. That was a bit more complicated because that was like a huge stage and you had to walk really fast, and it was in some very special shoes and everything, and I was closing the show, so I had to actually walk extra fast. And that was like a lot, like, okay, I have to be calm, and then here I have to turn left, and here I have to turn right, and here I have to be careful that I'm not walking into someone else. But here it's a bit more relaxed, it's a bit more like straightforward, so here it's just about like not overthinking it and not panicking.
When you are walking down the runway, you're kind of looking, you're giving people the 1,000-yard stare, I suppose. You're looking over everyone's heads, or you're looking into the distance. Is that something you have to learn how to do? I mean, is it, if you obviously will know some people in the audience, is that important that you don't sort of smile at them and make eye contact?
Well, it is important not to like be like, oh, hello,
like, or your mates.
Yeah, like, sup, brah. But it's just like, it's not that much of a problem actually, because the lights are fairly bright, so it's a bit hard to see faces anyway. I've often done shows where I've known, like, if an agent or a booker or a friend of a photographer or someone else has been sitting in the show, but I've never actually had that problem where I've like seen them and done like, oh shit, I looked, oh no, I shouldn't have done that, because like all the faces, they just like become a blur, because you are just looking into the light or the cameras or just straight ahead.
And what's it like? Is it quite a collegiate, friendly atmosphere amongst you guys? I mean, it seems like obviously lots of people know each other from different jobs, from this, that, the other. Is it kind of a little community?
Yeah, you get to know a lot of the same guys because you get booked with guys that look kind of like you and stuff like that. So you meet each other at like a lot.
It's a bit weird though as well, isn't it? You kind of go to the pub and everyone looks the same.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I thought since I've started modeling, oh, I guess I must look quite unique. But like, I've just realized after I started how not unique I am. It's like when you go to a casting and there are like 20 guys in front of you who look exactly the same, and there's like 20 guys behind you who look exactly the same. It's just like, oh, well, this is neat. But it's quite fun, and you get to learn a lot of the guys, and they're quite nice people.
And there she blows, 6 minutes. Well, how do you feel after all of that build-up? And it's a wonderful show, a packed house. That's a success. How do you feel?
Well, it's funny. You always feel there's a lot of adrenaline. I might look and feel, I don't know if I look calm or not. But, there's a huge amount of adrenaline. And straight after the show, you just feel like it goes. And you feel, But you can tell from people's reactions, how they feel about it. And, the press come back and ask you questions about the show. And, people are smiling and that's good. And, everything went off without a hitch. Nobody forgot their jumper. Nobody came off with a shoe missing. No, it was great. I'm really, really happy with it. And, now it's the job of the commercial team to go and turn it into something with pound signs attached to it, which is ultimately the point of it. But from the show's point of view, I'm delighted.
And this kind of show then, the collection now has a life of its own. It goes to Paris, it goes all over the world. The pictures, of course, instantly will be all over. For 2 days now, will have been all over the internet, all over social media. So you give birth and you kind of let it lead its own life a bit at this point, presumably, and you can decompress and whatever is your poison will happen.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, actually, we do track the media coverage that we generate from the show. And you're right, it's huge and it is completely global instantly. And we estimate that somewhere in the region of about £1 million worth of coverage from the, 7 minutes of show get generated. And the clothes, the clothes go off, the clothes will be in the showroom here in London and in Paris in a couple of weeks' time. And then they will go up to press and they will literally be shot all over the world by amazing photographers.
And how long do you give yourself and your team to celebrate a great show and a great day here before that itchy feeling of next season and what's happening? And there's been a germ of an idea in the back of your mind. How long does it take to start off the next one of today, I suppose?
Honestly, we'll probably start on Monday. Partly because this is a short season. So it's January now, the next show's in June. We've got to crack on with it because, June, weirdly for us, actually our summer collection is typically a bigger seller than our winter collection. Who knows why? Partly, I think, because we sell a lot in Asia and lighter weight clothes, we just sell more. So we'll decompress today, tomorrow, but genuinely Monday, we'll sit down and start thinking about what we do for June.
Okay. This time it was scarecrows. We shall see where we go for the summer collection and for the winter collection. For the time being, Patrick Clark, congratulations. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to Patrick and everyone at eTorts for having us over the weekend. So what have we gleaned? It's a collegiate thing, putting on a fashion show. It's a team game, but needs one person, really, to take the lead and make the decisions. Like any show, if it's good, it seems effortless, but a lot of people have got up early and stayed up late to pull it off. So how do you put on a fashion show? You have a series of great ideas in wool, cotton, tweed, denim and leather, and then you get a good-looking bloke with great hair to try it on for size in front of an audience of journalists, buyers and photographers with strong opinions. And maybe you play some Genesis too. I know I would. You've been listening to Culture, where my producer was the best-dressed Holly Fisher. Join me again at the same time next week, but for the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thank you very much for tuning in.